Waffles. I am Jesse.
I am Jamie.
Yeah, and you're our audience. Thanks for listening.
We
appreciate it. It's great that you're there, wherever you are, hanging out, maybe driving, maybe sitting at home by the old radio in the living room. You know, the big console-sized one that everyone still has.
Yeah. Maybe
where you gather around to listen to the nightly audio dramas, radio plays.
I wonder what the boys on the mixtape will say today.
Presented by cigarettes. They're good for you. Ask your doctor. Anyway, we're here this week, as we sometimes are, to share some music and stories and fun, exciting bits and bobs. Today, we'll have some new music for you. We'll have some old music for you. We'll have some very old music for you. We'll have some reminiscences. And I'll keep talking and not letting Jamie get a word in edgewise.
I love shows like this where we give ourselves permission to play as much old stuff as possible.
Yeah. Hey.
These are so fun. I'm just like such a sucker, such a sad sap for nostalgia.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's interesting because, you know, there is enough great music being released by Vancouver artists on a weekly basis that we can and usually do just keep going with very few repeat artists, let alone songs, right?
Yeah.
Or at least repeat albums. We play our favorite artists over and over again as they release new music. But I think this is also something that, like, a bit of a trap that I find myself getting into in just my general music listening is I'm always looking for new and interesting stuff, and I don't necessarily spend time with my favorites. You know, I don't go back often enough.
Yes. Like, there is a ton of burden to, like, constantly be listening to something new and, like, being able to, like, mm-hmm. finger on the pulse
totally
on what's going on. You don't want to be left behind, but, like, there's a reason your favorites are your favorites.
Yeah. And, you know, I appreciate the reason that I do look for new music, right? I like having that sort of pressure and push to find new stuff for you out there listening, for myself. But yeah, it's also nice to share some treats and share some of our favorites as well. That being said, I don't know how much, like, we're talking about, oh, we're going to play our old favorites, and most of it's still new music. It's just, you know, music from our favorites and not new to the tape necessarily. The first thing we have lined up is the Golden Age of Wrestling, which is maybe one of the most replayed tape artists in the scheme of things. But, you know, for good reason.
The Jeff Cancade tape.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really cool that, you know, we do this show, and as a result, you know, we were into local music before, but I don't think, well, I know I would not have the level of familiarity and you know, understanding and just experience of Vancouver's local music scene if it weren't for the show and the audience that listens to it. So, very excited about that.
Yeah, who knows? We could have just stopped listening after the band Basketball.
It's true. We could have. Funny story, I was digging through the archives, and by the archives I mean our filing cabinets full of 7 inches at the radio station, because my good friend and coworker Danny, who hosts Analog Archives, he was looking for some stuff, and he mentioned that he got a message from Chris Horrific about one of the episodes that he posted, and you know, very complimentary, and Chris Horrific donates to the CGSF fund drive most years, and I knew we had some old Chris Horrific stuff in the archives, but our music library search is currently down, so I had to go and page through it.
Do a little finger.
Finger browse.
Little finger browse.
And I found the Collapsing Opposites Bible Belts split 7-inch.
Perfect.
And I got to walk over to Danny and be like, hey, this record's by the guy who sent you a message, which is pretty cool. So that's a cool detour, but let's get to our first music of the day. This is, I spoiled it already, by the Golden Age of Wrestling, but I didn't tell you what song it is. It's Brontosaurus, because we love dinosaurs. Enjoy.
Thank you.
the Druiz remix of Mano Peluda by Empanadas Ilegales from the Sancocho Trifásico Remixes EP. So good.
So good.
So but good.
Druiz just is so good at just like rhythm.
Totally.
Just like
mm-hmm.
Incredible. Like yeah. I was watching clips from his Instagram of just him like
playing drumming, the drum.
And like it's like watching like a MasterChef cook. You know, they're just like nothing flashy. There's no like big jock rocky kind of moment. He's just like so precise. And he just like looks at everything. It's just like it's watching like a machinist work. Mm. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, and you know, a cool collaboration there. Obviously, like remixing the Empanadas Ilegales track. I believe he was on one of the tracks.
Drummer.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it's interesting too because the Sancocho Trifásico has a song that is featuring Druiz. But I suppose why not feature your own drummer?
I wonder. Like, when I saw them live, he was their drummer. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's in their promo stuff.
Anyway. Yeah, the friendships, collaborations, all a huge part of the local scene. And one of the cool things that we get to discover through this is just, like, yeah, those connections. Seeing people we know have had on the show pop up in new groups with new groups all over the place. And the next act that we wanted to play is, well, how would you describe Stu McKillop? Acquaintance? Friend?
I'd say friend.
Person of in the scene? Producer? Artist?
I mean, he's
engineer,
Cobra.
Oh, he's teammate. Cobra.
Teammate. Yeah, because I played ball with Stu, but Stu, like, I don't know. I have several different relationships with Stu, I guess. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, he produced this, or he mastered the Self-Care album.
Mm-hmm. Out now on all streaming platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, like, my first musical introduction to him was when he was fronting Daggermouth.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also just, like, a gnarly-ass left-handed pitcher. Just, like, the junkiest baller.
The most important contribution to the local music scene.
Yeah.
Is yes. Being a gnarly-ass left-handed pitcher.
Exactly. I've also never, like... No, there's like nobody in that East Fan Baseball League that was like so universally beloved.
Mm.
Just that everybody just like loved Stu and like was keen to talk to him. Most because like everybody had worked with him in some capacity before.
Sure. Well, and yeah, that's the other thing is that he and Rain City Recorders, especially I feel like in the earlier parts of this show's history, were this sort of like pseudo-mythological like recording studio and in many ways I feel like in the mind and the zeitgeist of today maybe the Noise Floor has taken over that mantle as like mm-hmm. the place, but Rain City Recorders still you know top tier, and back then especially just seemed to be like the place that people went. Maybe like post Hive it became Rain City Recorders.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool to have that connection, and very grateful to be able to do this show and, you know, have a place to share those connections, and also just, the motivation to keep digging and finding those things and experiencing those things.
To go back a little bit into our personal lore, like pre-mixtape lore, do you remember back in the day where we made a map connecting all the Canadian indie alternative bands?
I want to just interject to say that we is standing in very nicely for mostly our friend Elmer.
Yeah. But like,
but yes.
Yeah. But it's like clear that though that kind of connection or like those musical relationships are of interest to us,
mm-hmm.
right? And like we love chasing that thread, and we're like super grateful that we can like chase those threads and like show not only each other but like you find folks at home. Like, what comes out of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now, for example, just to go back to Druiz for a moment, like, I was because we played a lot of Drewy's with his solo stuff back like in the pandemic, but I was like, what was the Drewy's thing that like initially got us like introduced us to Drewy's? And like, wasn't he the drummer of Leisure Club?
Was it Leisure Club? Possibly.
And like,
I feel like there's another band that's just right on the tip of my tongue that I'm trying to.
And like Leisure Club was like, yeah, so he was in Leisure Club. I'm confirming that to myself, which, by the way, also former Cobra in that band as well.
Classic.
Jamie Smale, also good, great pitcher. But like, and then from Leisure Club was like an amalgamation of players from Bestie, which featured players from Eek.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so like
way back to the very beginnings.
Just Eek to Bestie to Leisure Club, and then like Jamie Smale, who was in Leisure Club, was in Tough Lover. So there's like an Eek through Empanadas Illegales. I always struggle with the name.
Illegales
that like gets us there. Mm-hmm. And like going back to Stu, like Stu has a connection to these guys, too, I'm sure about. Like, I can't confirm he mastered any stuff.
But sure,
like,
but there's the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon in there somewhere.
Exactly.
Right?
Also, one last Cobra connection in Stu McKillop's newest band, Sofni, also features Kyle Ross, who was my catcher for several years on the Cobras.
Well, it sounds like maybe instead of 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, it should be like 7 degrees of East Van Cobras.
And
we can connect all of the dots here. Anyway, let's get to that new music, that new project from Stu McKillop. It's called Soft Knee, which is a, well, maybe not exclusively, but is a music production reference. Soft Knee Compressor is the gain is gradually reduced as the audio signal approaches the threshold. Anyway, it's an inside music engineer production name, but also if you try to search Soft Knee, you'll get a whole bunch of physiotherapy results. And if you try to search Soft Knee Band, you also get a bunch of physiotherapy results. But if you search Soft Knee Bandcamp, you'll find Soft Knee.
I might go buy myself a Soft Knee compressor for my knee after this.
You know, you could have said you're going to go buy yourself a Soft Knee compressor for your guitar.
Exactly.
And it would have been the same. Anyway, this is Nexus Mod, which I'm sure is also something musically related.
We'll be right back.
we're back on the Vancouver Mixtape. You just heard Drive My Plow Over the Bones. No, Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead. Before that was Nexus Mods by Sofni. That track, Spirit Incantation by Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead. Good local screamo, post-hardcore, scrams, emo violence, etc. That band, Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead, is named after the book, Drive My Plow Over the Bones of the Dead. At least I assume it is. It'd be quite the crazy coincidence if they were independently named.
What's your review? Good book?
I have not read it yet. So Katie just read this book and recommended it to me. And so it's added to my queue, right? I have, unfortunately, like many people with various media, a very long queue that is always having stuff added onto it.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading this book, Deadhouse Gates, which is the second book in the Malazan Book of the Fallen, which is like a 12-book fantasy series, and each book is like 600 pages or whatever, right?
The most Jesse thing you've ever
heard, right? And so I found this I read the first book from the library a while ago. Found the second book in one of our little local like neighborhood library boxes. Mm. Right, was like, oh great, this is the next book in the series I wanted to read. I took it. I started reading it, and then from the actual library, the Vancouver Public Library, a book I had on hold came in when I was like halfway through this 650-page book, and I waited the maximum amount of time I could to pick up the book so I could try to get further through the book, and the day I had to pick up the book or get fined for not picking up the book, I was almost exactly halfway through this second book,
right? Yeah.
And so I go and pick up my book, which is The Fall of Hyperion, which is the second book.